right, I want to read starting at verse 13 of Romans chapter 4. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 16. Therefore, it's of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, this is an opening that we've been using for some times. And what we said, that the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Well, the Bible says over in Galatians that to the seed whom the promise was made, and he said, notice I didn't say seeds, but I said seed, and to thy seed, which is Christ. But then further on in Galatians chapter 3, he said, but if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, no plurals now, and heirs according to the promise. I belong to Christ. How about you? Okay. So you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, and this same promise that he made to Abraham is for you. What did he make to him? He shall be heir of the world. What is heir? What is an heir? Somebody that what? He inherits something. That's what he promised him. Well, if he promised it to him, he promised it to you. What did he promise you? Come on, according to this, that you would inherit what? The world. The world. Now, we know we're talking about the Holy Ghost, talking about the anointing and all that. I'm not talking about that. Come out of the Spirit for just a minute. Come right down here on the earth where we are talking about some things. Look at verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. So it's going to be by faith that it might be by grace. Why? Because Jesus already paid the price for it. He paid the price for the whole world. Now, this act of getting it back is going to be by faith that it might be by grace, so the promise might be sure to all the seed. And then he said, here it is. He said, the faith that we're talking about is the faith of Abraham. Say, faith of Abraham. Then he goes on in the next verse to describe the faith of Abraham. Here's the faith of Abraham. He calleth things that, those things that what? Be not as though they were. The faith of Abraham. All right, so Paul brings more of this revelation out. And if you turn to 1 Corinthians and chapter 3, we see Paul addressing more of this revelation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, if I can just fast forward for a minute, let me ask you a question. Who had the earth at first? Adam. Okay. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. We said dominion means lordship, it means rulership, it means oversight, it means caretakership or stewardship, and it means ownership. So he turned over the care of the earth to man, Adam and Eve. Okay? Woman and man. And so now he turned it over to them. However, they lost it. How did they lose it? Through disobedience. They ate of a tree that God told them not to eat of. He said, today you eat of it, you should surely die. What does die mean? It didn't mean, it meant to be cut off from God. Because they were cut off from God, now their bodies died. just like a plant. If I take a plant and take it out of a soil and just put it on the side over there, it dies. If I take a banana and I take it and take it off the vine and then I put it in my kitchen and so forth and leave it there, you'll see that it's dead. It might look good for a minute, but as it goes on down, it would die. The same thing happened to Adam. He lived some, 900 years or whatever have you, but he died. He died because once he got cut off, the moment he got cut off, he was dead. That same principle holds fast when Jesus spoke to that tree, remember? He spoke to that tree, and when he spoke to that tree, those leaves looked just as vibrant right after he spoke to it as they did before he spoke to it. Just as vibrant. But they came back the next morning, and what had happened? The whole thing had withered away. Why? Because once he spoke to it, it was dead as a doornail. And folks, he released faith and didn't go by what he saw, he went by what he said. And once he said, this tree's dead, I don't care what it looks like, he didn't take his faith off the line. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, this principle we're going to get to, because that's the way you're going to transfer the wealth. So, this is very key. That's why people lose out, because they're still trying to feel faith. They're still trying to get something in the natural to verify to them that faith is working. And you don't have anything, folks. When it starts to really develop, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full cornea ear, when it starts to really develop, you'll have maybe somebody come to you. And they'll come to you and say, hey, I dreamed that you just got a new, brand new Bentley. You say, whoa, are you following the saying? Now, I'm not saying you have to have a Bentley or something. Maybe you want one. Okay, now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 21. Let me know when you get there. This man, I heard it. The teacher just said something to him that he was in a grammar school. I want you to take the word repair and use it in a sentence. Johnny, come on up. Use the word repair in a sentence. He got up there. I'm repairing to go to the cafeteria. She said, what? She said, do you know what the word repair means? He said, yeah. It means to fix. Well, I'm fixing to go to the cafeteria. Okay. All right. Look what it says. Look what it says here. First Corinthians, come on. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, whether the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you're Christ, and Christ is God. So you have somebody you have to answer to, okay? But all things are yours. Now, we dealt with this a little bit last time. We were talking about all things, and when we said all things, we mean exactly what we said. We said all things. Now, it doesn't mean that you go out and snatch something from somebody. My name is Jimmy, I'll take all you give me. Or you'll snatch something from somebody that in the natural doesn't belong to you or whatever have you. No, that's not right. But these things will be transferred by faith. And that what we said is there's anything that is good about it, anything that is beneficial to you, anything that will enhance your life or anything that would enhance your accomplishing your assignment or your mission, then you have a right to it. Now, we said that in this situation, what you got to be aware of is that you've got to go by what God said. We said in Romans chapter 3, let God be what? True, and let every man be a what? Be a liar. Now, God is saying that because there are certain things that you're going to read in the Bible which is our constitution as citizens of the kingdom of God. We're going to read certain things in the Bible. And as you read those things in the Bible, realize that those things are true. Now, they may not be factual. You may not know how these things are going to happen, but yet they still are true. And he said, all things are yours. And so right away, people spiritualize. So, oh, we talking about all spiritual things. Well, hey, before anything becomes natural, it's spiritual. Everything. I mean, even, you know, the house that you're living in, it was somewhere in somebody's mind before it got into this earth. So my point to you is all things are yours. He's talking about tangible things. Now, in this, glory to God, so I'm talking about things, houses, automobiles, clothes, jewelry, businesses, so forth and so on. All things are yours. Now, this is what he said. Whatever God says, that's it. And I'm saying that no matter how you feel about it, no matter how you see it, no matter what's going on around your life, it doesn't make any difference. That's it. And so whatever God says in here, no matter what I think about it, it's irrelevant. No matter what I think about it, it's immaterial. What God says is true. So God says, all things are mine. Now I'm going back to the inheriting the world was for Abraham and his who?
Seed.
And his seed. Are you seed of Abraham?
Yes.
All right. Now, so let's go now over to Joshua chapter 1. Now in Joshua chapter 1, this is where we begin to see this promised land being possessed. Because the title of this whole series is Possessing Our Inheritance. And the subtitle of this particular teaching is All Things Are Yours. All right, I'm going to read this and follow along with me as I read down through verse 5. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now he begins to give him the dimensions, meets and bounds. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even into the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, into the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. All right, let's stop right there. So now God is going to take Joshua, who he has raised up to take the children of Israel over into Canaan land. Now, he's going to take them over there, but he's given him some instructions. He is saying here that every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you. Now, what we said there is that you and I, as the church, have jurisdiction in this earth. And what I said is that we are like ambassadors sent from another kingdom. But as we go into this earth, we go into this earth to recover this earth and to dispossess squatters. So we are like a moving embassy. And I described an embassy to you. It's a government headquarters in a foreign land. But even though it's in that land, it's not of that land. So an embassy that's placed from America over into France or in Africa somewhere, whatever, you can go in those embassies. And once you enter the compound, you are considered on American soil. You are no longer on embassy, on African or Asian, whatever it is, soil. That's American soil. And American laws apply. Got it? Now, in that place, in the natural, we get immunized against things. And so in that situation, you call it immunity. Anybody ever heard? What kind of immunity? Diplomatic immunity. And in diplomatic immunity, those people can't touch you. So in the diplomatic immunity in the compound that I am in, now what's outside of the walls cannot come inside. So if you're in that land and a plague is in that land, it says in Psalm 91, there shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. Why? He's given his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. You have a wall of angels around you, and no sickness of that land can get on your body. That's the way it's supposed to work now. Got it? And notice you don't have to live in that embassy like they live in that land. If that poor land is poor, it doesn't make any difference. Inside that embassy, all of your supply comes from your country. Got it? Everything comes from your country. Your music, everything. So you got plenty of joy. Are you with me now? So now, inside of that, wherever you move now, becomes what God spoke to Joshua about. He said, the angel said, take your shoes off because the place where you stand, come on, is holy ground. Meaning that ground is a ground that God's presence is on and no evil shall come on that ground. Are you with me? So you don't have to live on the level of the people and the nation that you go into. You can live on the level of the people of where you came from. And you came from heaven. If you were born again, the Bible says you were born from above and that you're a citizen of the kingdom of God. Say amen to that. So that's kind of that whole thing there. Now, every place the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I given to you. So now he goes on and he says, as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I will not fail you, nor will I forsake you. So now he's taking Joshua and he's going to take Joshua to lead them into this promised land. Now it got promised through Abraham. So now Joshua didn't have anything to do with it. It was between God and Abraham. Say amen to this. But Joshua is a recipient of it, and Joshua is responsible for continuing it. Hello? So he's responsible for continuing. So here's Joshua. Now Moses couldn't take him in. Y'all remember why Moses wouldn't be able to take him in? Do you remember? All right, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, please. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let me know when you get there. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 4, look what it says in verse 21. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me, talking Moses, this is Moses talking, for your sakes, and swear that I should not go over Jordan, and that I should not go in unto the good land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Good land. Good land. Say good land. Good land. I looked up the word good there in the concordance. You can find it under good under 2896 in the Hebrew section of Strong's Concordance. Okay? That's where it was. And it means this. It means beautiful, best, better, pleasant. It means prosperity. It means precious. It means ready. It means sweet. Good land. Good land. All right. Put something at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and come with me back to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Are you there? All right. Moses, during his time of leadership, chose 12 spies to go spy out this promised land, to check it out. The idea about it was they were doing reconnaissance because they were building a strategy for going in. So he goes in, they go in and check it out for 40 days. And this is what they found. Verse 21 of Numbers chapter 13. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin into Rehob as the men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Shisha, and Talma, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. All right, now this word Eshcol means a cluster. Okay, now, these men cut down a branch with fruit on it to take it back to the camp to show the people what kind of fruit there was in the land that God had promised them. Now, these fruit, the grapes, were as big as grapefruits. In other words, I want to read it from the Living Bible translation. They cut down a single cluster of grapes so large that it took two of them to carry it on a pole between them both. So here are grapes the size of grapefruits. Now the vine had to be big. If you've ever gotten a sack of grapefruits, they have these little yellow sacks and so forth of grapefruit. Imagine having three or four of those. Now you got to carry these. They couldn't. They put it on a pole between them. This is good land. So now God is showing them, out of all the land, He has prepared the best for His people. Now I want you to stay with me here. He has prepared the best for His people. He called it good. I told you the word in Hebrew is tov. It means best. It means better. It means beautiful. It means God prepared this. Now understand, there are folk living on this. If you will, put something right there and flip back with me to Numbers again. Deuteronomy. And let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, look at verse 10. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and what? Goodly cities, same word, Tob, which thou buildest not. You didn't build this city. God's going to give you a city that you didn't build. Now let's keep going. Verse 11. And houses, come on, full of all what? Good things, which you didn't fill. So it looks to me like God is having somebody to work and labor and get custom cabinetry in from this country and so forth and build this thing up to turn it over. Now, I'm asking you one thing. Don't be trying to judge me, and don't be trying to judge this word. What you need to do is say, let God be true and every man be a liar. Are you with me? I'm not even done with that yet. Look at the next part of it. He said, which thou didst fill, or filleth not, and wells dig, which you didn't dig. Come on now. And vineyards and olive trees. Come on now. Which thou plantest not. Look at that. That's better homes and gardens. My point to you is they did all the work. They tilled all the land. They cultivated the soil. They landscaped the front lawn. They got all the bedrooms ready. They got everything ready. And I mean, they had the finest of the finest. If it was designer, if it was this and that, it was all there. And they got to say amen to this. Now let's go to Ecclesiastes in chapter 2, please. Ecclesiastes in chapter 2. Good land. Good land. The land is there and the land is good. What do I mean good? Well, see, if you just listen to good, you might think, oh, that's good. No, sir. We're talking about the best. That if it's in the earth, it's the best. Folks, it's supposed to be that we got storehouses all over. Had say amen to that. Man, we should have reserves. Wow. Are you following what I'm saying? But what? No, we've had this scarcity mentality, this limited, this pie mentality. Pie mentality says this, that I'm going to cut me a piece of pie, and if I cut it too big, that means your pie going to be smaller. Are you following what I'm saying? That's a pie mentality. But you can't cut a piece too big for God. If you cut a big piece, he just makes another big piece. Say amen to that. A scarcity mentality says this. You know, I had Bill Winston, my members starting to go down to his church. You know, what's wrong with that guy getting my members? I ain't getting your members. I'm growing grass. These are sheep. They want something to eat. Are you following what I'm saying? What they do. See, but they talk about me. Now, holy, the Bible told me that. It says over here in where you see called the Beatitudes in Matthew, it says, blessed are they when men will vile you and say all evil against you falsely. But it tells you what to do. What did it say do? Rejoice, for great is your reward. Hey, I'm doing something for God, and the Bible says all who live godly shall suffer persecution. He ain't talking about persecution coming from some rank sinner. He talking about some cousins right around you. They gonna start talking about you. But let me tell you what persecution is. Persecution is hell announcing your promotion. You see, you see, everybody that went through persecution got promoted. Everybody, Joseph, Daniel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, everybody that went through it. I don't know about you, but I'm going through. Now, the devil saw you when you came in here. Now the word came in you. Now he don't like it. So he's going to try to talk about you, make you shake that word loose. See? But that's just persecution. But that's all right. They talked about Jesus. And all who live godly shall suffer persecution. Well, they ain't talking about me. You ain't living godly. So what you got to do is start doing something for God. The Bible says you don't get the hundredfold except through persecution. Now, I'm not saying people got to just, you know, dog you out, but I'm saying people behind your back just talk little things, and they shoot that little stuff. But that's all right. We received this mall with persecution, but I'm still here, got the joy of the Lord. Say amen to that. Still loving everybody. Brother came up to me and he said, listen, Pastor, I want you to forgive me. I said, what's that, Doc? He said, you know, I've been talking about you. I said, oh, okay. I said, all right. He's a pastor. I said, okay. I said, where's your church? On the south side. I said, okay, all right, praise the Lord. I said, well, brother, listen, I forgive you, man. I said, well, what's been happening? He said, nothing. See? You know what I'm saying? When they talk about you, nothing happens in their life. It comes to a standstill. So what does it tell you to do when you're persecuted? Rejoice. Don't retaliate. Rejoice. So where am I now? What did I show you here? The Ecclesiastes chapter 2. All right. Now notice what I said. The land is there and the land is what? It's good. It's good. All right. So all the best has been laid up for God's people to come in and take it. Now, remember what I said. You don't hit nobody over the head. You don't go in nobody's house, stick them up, get out of here. I'm saying, no. They have a system. And in their system, their deed is at the courthouse. But God has a higher system. And faith becomes a title deed. It's going to transfer. Say amen to that. See, he's going to do it legally. He's going to work right within that system. You're the ones he's been waiting for. Now, I'm only saying this to you because you got to have your thinking enlarged to handle that. Told you about this man. He was a pastor. He was out there in California. I went out there to see the house. He said, Pastor Winston said, I got this house out here. This man gave me this house. I said, tell me the story. He said, well, I got a call late one night. The man said, hey, something tell me to give you my house. He said, he called me from Las Vegas or somewhere. And I said, okay, who is this? So he told me, I didn't know him. And, you know, he talked kind of crude and so forth. And he said, I just hung up. Then about a couple of weeks later, I got a call again. He was in Vegas and he was like he was hysterical. I told you God told me to give you this house. Now you gonna take this house? And he said, hold it now. He said, what? He said, something told me, go see the house. He said, well, what's the address? Gave me the address. So then he got out there and he came up to the house and pulled up to the gate. He buzzed the door. And the guy answered, he said, the gates will open, come on up to the front. He said, the house was 150 yards from the gate. He said he got up there, and the man was standing with both double doors open, and all he could see in the back of the man was a waterfall. And the water was falling over an onyx stone. Some of y'all don't even know what onyx is. Now, you better hear what I'm saying. You're going to have to expand your mind for this, because he didn't say the poverty of the sinner. He said the wealth of the wicked. All right, you got what I'm saying now? Now, what happened? Man showed him all around, showed him elephant tusks from this and over there, and all the, I mean, everything. Just beautiful home. Okay? He said, well, how much did you pay for this home? How much was this home when you paid for it? He said, I paid, $9-12 million, something like that. Okay, one of the two. He paid some money for that house. Okay, you got it? And it was nine or over nine is somewhere up there. I can't remember now. But he said, now all you have to do is give me your house, sign over the title of your house. I'll take yours and give you this one. This one is paid in full. Now, the preachers wasn't paid in full. It was a $200,000 bungalow. And it wasn't paid. And so... He told the man, he said, are you ready? He said, we can go down today and we can go down to the title company. I've got it all lined up, so forth and so on. This is what the preacher said. This is why I say you got to get your mind ready. Wait a minute now. I don't know about this. How much is the water bill in this place? Now, you saying, oh, 3 million of them refused to go. After they had seen the best. Are you following what I'm saying? They refused to go. They begin to think about all the giants that might come with it. Giants have a water bill. Giants are, come on now. And it overwhelmed them, and they could not go. God had to wait on their kids. How about you? Will you ask how much is the water bill in this place? All right. Oh, okay. Yes, indeed. I flew out there to see it. Oh, man. The coach house is as big as a house. That's the coach house. Y'all know what the coach house is? Okay, now I'm just asking. Ain't no haters in here, is it? All right, notice what I'm doing now. I'm not trying to get you on things. I'm trying to get you on the covenant.
Amen. That's right.
Because something will happen if you leave him with it. If you leave him with it, he will take it and vex you with it. That's scripture. That's why they had to take it. Because God had them to prepare it for his people.
Amen.
Because his people weren't going to be distributors. The world's people are hoarders. Are you following what I'm saying? When somebody calls me about needing shoes for those people and so forth and so on, it touches me. But there are people with a lot of money that doesn't even touch. Doesn't even faze them. Well, so let's look at this. This is, what did I tell you? Ecclesiastes. Verse 26. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight, what? Wisdom and knowledge and joy. Keep going. But to the sinner, come on, he giveth travail. To do what? To gather and to heap up that he may give to him that is what? Good before God. So what is the sinner's job? They gathered it up. So notice what they did. They prepared that land for God's people. They gathered it up, got everything ready, the vines dressed, the houses cleaned, painted, all the furniture put in place, cars in the garage, and everything. And God said, now I'm going to turn it over to you. Now, let me tell you something. Right away, if your mind is not straight, you're going to say, well, now why would God do that after all those people have done that and so forth? I don't know why God made some of the decisions that he made, but I'm not going to argue with God. I am no fool. Let's keep going. Let's go to Job, please. Job. And let's go to Job chapter 27. Job chapter 27. Y'all still love me?
Yeah.
Folks, I told you that last time. Why should we sit up and use funeral home fans to be fanning with in church and down at the cafe and bar down there, they got air conditioning. They down there boogieing up something, man, and we up here fanning with some funeral home fans. Hey, them days are over. Them days are over for some rusted out bus that is a liability trying to haul some people to the next engagement or whatever. Those days are over. I said those days are over. I said he got the best for his people. Folks, if anybody should be riding in a decent bus, it should be your people. Say amen to that. Y'all with me? Verse 13. This is a portion of a wicked man with God, and the heritage of oppressors, which they shall receive of the Almighty. Watch this. If his children be multiplied, it is for the sword, and his offspring shall not be satisfied with bread. Those that remain of him shall be buried in death, and his widows shall not weep. Though he heap up silver as the dust and prepare raiment as the clay, he may prepare it, but the just shall put it on. Folks, I didn't write this. Did I write this? Do you see my name in here? When I said all things are yours, I mean it. Now, how do you get this? I told you, it's not no, my name is Jimmy, I'll take all you give me. It's not no snatching something and so forth. It's faith that makes the transfer. But what you're going to be doing is something I call a hostile takeover. I even looked up hostile takeover in my banking dictionary. Hostile takeover is a bid that is unwelcomed either to the board of directors or the target company or its shareholders. In other words, nobody's in favor of being taken over, but that doesn't make any difference. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now, God instructed Israel to take the spoil. Say, take the spoil. Notice what he had to take. They had to take houses full of all good things. They had to take stuff that was lavish and stuff that was luxury. These people who had this, God wants us to have the spoils that are allowing the wicked to live a lavish life of luxury. Isn't that something? Well, only God can do that. Now, to do this, you're going to have a paradigm shift. Because your natural mind said, well, Lord, I don't, and so forth and so on. I don't know what your mind going to say. Mine ain't going to say nothing, but give it here. That's what mine's going to say. I done meditated this thing, see? Praise God. Now, God wants the church to control the money supply of the earth. He wants the church to do that. He wants us to be agents of production and agents of distribution to the world. And I can see that because I travel the world and I can see the biggest needs that are out there, the needs that are out there. Having things is not what keeps you from God, but it's things having you. And when those things have you, then you're in trouble. How to keep them from having you? Keep giving them. Keep letting it flow. Say amen to that. All right. Now, come back to Joshua chapter 1, please. Verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I will not fail you or what? Forsake you. All right. How was God with Moses? You ready? Turn to Exodus chapter 23. How was God with Moses? Man, I'm telling you. This is good stuff here. You ready? Look at verse 20. Behold, I sent an angel before you. Now, he's talking to Moses now. This is God talking to Moses. To keep you in your way and to bring you into the place where I have what? Prepared. Now, do what? Beware of him. And what else? Obey his voice. Keep going. Don't provoke him. Keep going. Because he will not what? Forgive your transgressions for my what? My name is in him, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I'll be an enemy to your enemies. I'll be an adversary to thine adversaries, and for my angel shall go before you and bring you where? Into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, keep going, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, come on, the Hivites and the Jebusites, and what am I going to do with them? I'll cut them off. Now, I'm only saying that the faith of Abraham, believed, called things that what? Be not as though they were. He used his faith to access the promises of God. And so will you and I. Let's go to Joshua, please, and Joshua chapter 6. Amen. I said all things are yours. No, I said all things are yours. I mean, what do you need? All things are yours. Do you need a good vacation spot? Come on now. How about a vacation home? Come on now. I'm going to make the devil real mad. Come on now. How about a jet? Come on now. Y'all with me? Okay. So what am I saying? The best businesses, the best equipment, the best universities, the best. Everything is the best. Everything is the best. Now stop settling with something you don't want and don't desire, and let's go for the best. Come on now. We ain't talking about paying for it yourself, because it's already been paid for. We going for the best, and we gonna use our faith to get it. So look what it says here in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand what? Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Now, notice what he said. See, I have what? Given into thy hand Jericho. Did he say he's going to give it to him? What did he say? It's already given to you. But what did he tell him to do? See it. See it. I said see it. Now, how do you see anything? By Joshua 1:8. Meditate in that word day and night. So whatever it is that you need from God, you're going to meditate it until you see it. Because when you see it, now you can possess it. And it's going to come with no money down. Praise God. It's going to be all paid for. He told Abraham in Genesis 13, 14, and 15, he said, Abraham, as far as you can see, I'm going to give you. And let me take it and put it another way. If you can't see it, I can't give it to you. But here, Joshua, I know Jericho is straightly shut up. I know the walls are so high that they have chariot races on the top of them. They're so thick. I know nobody can get in. Nobody can get out. But Joshua, I want you to see something. I want you to see that I have given into your hands Jericho. Praise God. And you and I have the same thing. It might be things that are too big for our natural mind. This mall was too big for me. But God said, I want you to meditate in Joshua 1:3. I begin to meditate in Joshua 1:3. This, every place the sole of my foot shall tread upon, that has he given me. And I begin to walk the grounds of this mall. And every time I put my foot down, I said, it's mine and I'll take it if you please. I'm telling you, I didn't know how I was going to get it. The mall was too big for me. But as I began to meditate it, the mall got smaller and got smaller and got smaller. All of a sudden, I saw somebody else on my property. I said, I'll take it right now and I'm going to take it by faith. And I got it right now. Praise God. Now, I want you to see something, that everything God did, he did with words. Everything God did, he did with words. Everything in the universe has to adjust itself to accommodate your words. Everything in the universe has to adjust itself to accommodate your words. Everything in the universe has to adjust itself to accommodate your words. One more time. Everything in the universe has to adjust itself to accommodate your word. And Joshua proved that when he was out there fighting a battle, the sun was going down, and what happened? It was getting late, and Joshua needed to finish the battle, and he looked up at the sun, and he said, sun, stand still. And the sun stopped, and he said, moon, you stand still in the valley of Ajalon. The moon stopped, and he fought the battle, won the battle. I'm telling you right now, everything in the universe has to adjust itself to accommodate your words. If God said it, he said it, and it will come to pass. stripe, I'm healed. I'm telling you, this is our time. But what you're going to have to do, you're going to have to get some crazy faith. You're going to have to get some faith that you ain't trying to be cool no more. What you got to do, you got to come out of that thing. You get that picture of that house you want. You find it in that magazine. You take it, put it down on the floor in your house, and start walking around that picture. Come on now. See, you ain't got to go to the land. The land's gonna come to you. I know what I'm talking about. We've been too cool in the body of Christ. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say, praise the Lord. When they march around that place, let me tell you, here they were marching around that day, and the people up on the wall in Jericho said, what you think they're doing? I don't know. They keep marching around here. Every day they've been out here. And I wonder what they're doing. They sure is looking crazy out there. Girl, I'm telling you, they might don't pay no attention to them. But on the seventh day, they begin to march, and seven times, and then all of a sudden, they was up on the wall, and they start, what is that you feel? Something's happening here. And the walls fell down flat, and the children of Israel went and gathered up all the spoil. I'm telling you, it's our time. Say not 4 months, then come the harvest. I got some good news for you. The harvest is now. Yeah. Yeah, see? Yeah, see? You might not. It might be God may lead you to a dealership or something. Listen, I'm not talking about going into debt. I ain't talking about that. I ain't talking about no down payment. I ain't talking about that. We've been there. We've been there. We're getting out of that. I'm talking about debt free. I'm talking about Jesus paid the debt. He paid it 2,000 years ago. Everything he got, he said, I'm going to give you the land. Not sell it to you. Not give it to you on time. I'm going to give it to you. I'm talking about, folks, things are coming in now. You got to lift up your eyes. You got to see it. It's things coming in. We got a period of grace here upon grace. It's a time now that God's going to do things for you that you've been waiting for 10 years. No. We've been in scarcity long enough. Now, the power of money cannot even approach the power of spoken words. Cannot even approach it. No. That stuff is laid up for you. The center has a ministry, gathering, heaping up, night and day, worried about stuff. That's his ministry. But he's stacking it all up for you so you ain't got to go different places to get it. Now, I know this is a little strong for some of y'all, but you need some spinach. Come on now. Them Twinkies ain't gonna do it no more. You can't take this stuff on Twinkies. Now, I'm not appealing to anybody's greed. I'm appealing to the fact that they need shoes in Honduras. They just need food in Haiti. They need food over in Bishop Tutu Bismarck place over in Zimbabwe. Any food, folks? I hit them places. We, the church, can deal with the devil. We can deal with it. It ain't people. We're not mad at people. We're not mad at people. Their decisions are being influenced by something. Well, let's deal with who's influencing their decisions. we can stop him cold. Am I right about it? That's what I'm saying. Oh, God wants you to be blessed. You can put the swimming pool in the front or the back. Doesn't make any difference. But don't forget about God. Don't forget about God. All right.